Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Kyle Porter. That's Mark Immelman. I'm Chip Patterson. Gentlemen, it's been a minute. I've been lost in college football. It's a pleasure to be back with you on the links, at least digitally, at least in conversation. So as we sit here on a Wednesday evening, how are we feeling right now?
Man, I'm good. I want to be lost with you in college football. I'm all into college football right now, too. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know about you, Kyle, but I've enjoyed the brief break here after the Players' Championship. It was all kind of crazy there for a few months over the summer. So I'm kind of waiting for fall to arrive in Georgia. It still feels like the middle of summer, but I'm enjoying the brief hiatus.
Chip, I got a question for you because you're one of the few people that does the crossover college football golf thing. As you're one of the best in terms of the golf college football crossover.
Thank you.
Who's the Brooks Koepka of college football? Like who's the team that it's like, if they're on, they're terrifying, but you don't really like know what you're getting from week to week.
I think you could say that Alabama quarter to quarter. I think that the same way that Brooks can just turn it on for a major championship, there are like maybe 20 to 25 minute stretches of Alabama games where they're terrifying. And then there's also a 10 minute stretch where all of that otherworldly talent, all those 5 stars and 4 stars, can't seem to move the ball. False starts, okay. Execution problems.
Well, I want to go then. So who's the Clemson of the PGA Tour then?
Clemson would mean that you just kind of are on the upstart. You just kind of arrived to the scene.
JT.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the second major. He's that is the vibe. If Justin Thomas had one more major championship, like if he had a US Open to go with his PGA, I'd say that'd be Clemson.
But who has nobody really has two. Like Zach Johnson has two, but everybody either has one or they have like three or four. So Spieth's got three, Rory's got four, Koepka's got four, and then everybody else. Like DJ's got one, Day's got one. Nobody has two really, which is kind of weird.
Hey, you know what? I'm enjoying this right now. So who's Rory McIlroy then? I'm keen on your take now, Chips. Given that we're in the time frame now where players are voting for the Player of the Year and the Rookie of the Year, who's your Rory McIlroy of college football?
Can I go, Chip?
Go for it.
Rory's OU.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Really?
So here's the thing. I was talking about this with somebody today.
Yes.
It's the same thing with Oklahoma State. The thing we say about Oklahoma State, and this is true, this is more true of OU at a higher level, you say if their defense is average, they're going to win a ton, right?
Right.
Like they're not going to lose. And so you say the same thing about Rory. If the putting is average, if it's just average, he's never going to lose. And – you know, I think if you take the metaphor out a little bit further, like OU's like they've been there, like they're just awesome in the regular season, just lights out. But they can't figure out the playoff.
Wow.
Like
over,
can't, well,
no. Wow. I love this. Keep going, yeah, please. This is perfect.
It's true. And you know, they've won big ones in the past. They won it in 2000, long time ago. But haven't, you know, they're amazing in the regular season, but haven't won it in the postseason as of late, anyway.
Wait a second now. We've got Rory McIlroy, who just won in the postseason. Remember, he won the FedEx Cup just a little while ago. And I was looking through his numbers. This is right up your alley because you're a strokes gained guy, Kyle. First in strokes gained off the tee, 12th strokes gained approach to the green. Incidentally, that's the only category he's behind Brooks Koepka, and Brooks was 11th. Around the green, Rory was 19th. And get this, strokes gained putting, 24th. So I don't know. Keep going. I'm keen to hear your take here.
Well, that's the end of my OU thing. But if you want to have a Rory for Player of the Year conversation, I'm here for that. I'm an advocate of that. Here's the thing. And I was talking, I think me and Chip hollered about this for a while, but he doubled up. And I want to hear your take on this, Mark. He doubled Brooks's strokes gained number. Brooks was like I think Brooks was 1.36 and Rory's like 2.55. Like he doubled it. And like, I get it. I get the major thing and whatever, but like Rory's just a much better golfer, I think, than Brooks Koepka.
Well, you talk of those numbers. Okay, the best strokes gained total since 04, basically the ShotLink era. Woods in 06, 3.44. Woods in 09, 3.18. Woods in 07, 3.09. So there's that stretch of golf. Now, it was until 2019 with that 2.55 that you talk of Rory. So it has been a seriously good year. And to your point, the problem is, if you're just glossing over stuff and looking at the majors, yeah, Brooks is your guy. But if you're looking into all the numbers, head-to-head, Rory's got him. Even head-to-head victories, Rory has won more head-to-head than Brooks did. It's just Brooks showed up in the big events four times, basically. And then, of course, the WGC in Memphis.
Do you think that because the players vote on this, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Do you think that they take into consideration the numbers as much as what's being brought to this argument? Because I would wonder if intangibles play as much of a factor as anything else, which would only aid Brooks Koepka in terms of Brooks being a thing, a talking point, sort of a lightning rod for the entire golf world. Like, the intangibles are the argument for Brooks Koepka, because if Player of the Year is the guy, the dude, then I think that was Brooks Koepka in 2019.
Well, you will get certain players, and most of them right now win the era, when they will get together with their performance coaches now and start to look through all the strokes gained metrics and chart a plan as to what to do over the off season or the fall season now to come back stronger in 2020. So they're looking at all these lists, and I'm sure they're seeing McIlroy way up there, and that'll lodge in the memory some. I think the answer will sort of indicate where the players really feel about the Players' Championship and about the FedEx Cup, because Rory won the Players, which is, in my book, probably one of the most fair golf courses on the PGA Tour. You could win it from Fred Funk and Tim Clark there to guys like Stenson and McIlroy and Davis Love and Greg Norman. So across the board, you have different players. So he's won the Players' Championship. He put on 61 to win at Canada. That was unbelievable. And then the win at Eastlake, he did it all right. I mean, we talked about that in a previous podcast. In my opinion, that final round, typically he tries to force the issue, but he came out playing like Tiger. He hit the ball on the safe side of the hole 7 out of 9 times on the front nine, just played his way into the lead, then accelerated midway through the round, then sort of recovered and scrambled late, and then the quick flourish for the two birdies. So, I mean, it was some sort of performance he put on. And yeah, Brooks is the dude. He's the guy with the biceps who's who knows, posing naked for photo shoots and stuff now. And he's manly, you know. Of course he is. But Rory put together some season. And I'm unsure, Kyle, if folks are just going to kind of rubber stamp this thing for Brooks for Player of the Year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's more of a debate than a lot of people are sort of discussing right now. It seems like everybody's just like, well, Koepka won a major, so that's it. And it's like, really? Like, that can't be it. There's a real discussion. I want to read – so there's two tweets. This guy named Lou Brown on Twitter. I don't know if you guys follow him.
I've actually had him on my podcast. He's a very smart guy, man, and he comes up with some good stuff.
Yeah, he's awesome. And he said he was advocating – like he loves Rory just like everybody else, all of us. But he was advocating for Brooks, and he said – this is what he said. Virtually every other sport features an opponent trying to cause a physical reaction via either deception or direct interference. Absent that, golf is only interesting on two levels: sheer majesty of skill and what happens when the opponent is oneself. Regarding the former, I would wholly endorse retiring a trophy in Rory's name, but citing a player of his stature's performance in any event outside the majors as a counterweight to a dismal performance therein is closer to describing how well he was hitting it on the range.
Wow.
So essentially saying like everything outside the major is more about like is closer to how Rory's like practicing than it, which I look like I don't know if I totally endorse that, but I think his point about the fact that they're like in tennis, US Open's going on. There's always somebody trying to, you know, thwart you, to do something to you, to put to the, somebody that can play defense. But in golf, it's just yourself. It's just your mind. And we saw Rory vulnerable this year at the Open, you know, and not play even early at the PGA. I thought he was a little vulnerable and he didn't lock it down mentally like Brooks did. And I think that stuff matters when you're talking about kind of the minutia and the nuances at the level at which we're talking about them.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I do agree, but you know, as far as the Open pertains, and yes, the major performance from Rory was way below par for him. But that thing in Portrush, for all those Irishmen and the Northern Irishmen especially, you couldn't quantify the emotional load those guys were taking, especially McIlroy. And how many times did we talk about this? Was there too much hype? And that's a big deal. I mean, any one of you guys, you go play at your home club in the member guest, you know every break on the place, but there's an intangible about it. And I think McIlroy fell foul to that in round one. But then you can't forget that round two that he had. Kyle, you were the guy you text me and you're like, this guy has got me glued to the television on a Friday. I both, man.
I was, yeah. It was a great – here's the thing, though. Unbelievable moment. One of my favorite moments of the year, honestly, because it's Rory, because it's Portrush, because it's a major. But I can't leverage that into like the player of the year talk, because we're talking about making versus missing a cut. But yes, like if we're talking like moments of the year, that's in my top five.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mark.
Chip, I'll leave it with this. I think a lot of the players will still side with a major championship performance, but I don't think it's as done a deal if folks are really looking into it as what people thought just a few weeks ago.
I agree. And some of this is like a good debate, because it's like, well, we can talk about whether it's a good debate. It's the whole, like, you know how they started giving out Cy Youngs to guys that won like 12 games, went like 12 and 9. And you're like, is that good? But like, if you look at the numbers, it is good. Like, that's the right thing to do. And so I don't know. I think it's an old school mentality versus new school, or a more open-minded mentality to like, wait a second, like, let's dig a little deeper here and see what's actually going on. And you don't always get interesting, good debates like this about player of the year, but we've got one this year for sure.
Okay, so who's the contrarian that's here to crash the party? Mark, you mentioned it before the show. Who is on the ballot for player of the year? Who's going to be the vote stealer in this balloting?
I don't think there is. There were four guys announced: Koepka, Kuchar, McIlroy, and Schauffele. And look, Kuchar was a renaissance guy this year, 41 years old, two victories. Finishes 16th in the FedEx Cup, 8 top 10s. It was a fantastic season for Cooch. Xander Schauffele, 2 victories in 21 events, 2nd in the FedEx Cup, nearly steals it from McIlroy. 6 top 10s and 18 cuts made. Those were fantastic seasons, but I think they pale with respect and significance to what Brooks and Rory both did. I mean, Brooks has got 21 events played, 3 wins, CJ Cup, the PGA, in the WGC, had all the top fours or fives in the majors, 3rd in the FedEx Cup, 4th in scoring average, and 9 top tens in 20 cuts made. McIlroy, 19 events, 3 wins, Players Canadian Open Tour Championship, won the FedEx Cup, led the PGA Tour in scoring average, which caught my eye, and then 14 top tens in 17 of 19 cuts. So I think those two guys, they stand out, and I don't think anyone is stealing any votes.
I wish there was an award for like best personal season or something. I don't even know.
Do you just
want
to give Tiger Woods an award? Is that all this is?
That's what he's wanting to do. You're right.
That's not what I mean. I mean like a season that outperforms like your career average. So it'd be like this year, it'd be like, I don't know, maybe Ches Reavy or maybe even Kuchar. Like he was, I mean, he was pretty awesome like throughout the year. And especially like if you look at his, I mean, he's been good for a long time, but he kind of outpaced what he normally does. Gary Woodland, obviously a great year compared to kind of his normal year. But I think that would be an interesting debate because it's like, man, who was just awesome this year compared to what they normally do? And I don't know if you chalk that up to like whatever you chalk it up to, I think it would be an interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Coming up on the other side, we shift our attention to the Rookie of the Year debate next.
Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt, and I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to, and Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Okay, for the record, Justin Rose is the Ohio State.
There you go.
Justin Rose for that one.
Wait, who's Purdue?
Who takes him down? I don't know, but I was just trying to think about who has everything, is always right there, but just not, hasn't been recently, at least at the major championship and otherwise. He won a FedEx Cup, so congratulations, of course, to Justin Rose, but maybe that's like Ohio State's Big Ten championship. Okay, Rookie of the Year debate. It's interesting because I think, Mark, doesn't the conversation have to do with where we put the weight, because we've had this this insurgence of talent and all of this exciting, you know, young rookies that have joined in the middle of the season compared to those that have, you know, your Cameron Champ, your Sung J.M., the players that have been in it here for a little bit. How are those two things weighed by the players and the voters in this award?
Well, I would expect that it's the rookie of the year, so it's the bandwidth of the performance. So it's the year long performance, and you've got four of the five guys who've had a victory: Adam Long early, Morikawa and Wolf late. And Wolf plays 8 events, wins at the 3M Open. Morikawa plays 9 events, wins at Barracuda. Both make it to the second stage of playoffs, basically in the BMW. Long, same thing. But Cameron Champ, who won in the fall, he's a fantastic player, but he lost his gloss, you know, with a bunch of miscuts early in the year. So me personally, if I was voting, I'd have to go to Sung J.M. I mean, this guy played 35 events, which is superhuman in itself. He's had 7 top 10s, made it to the Tour Championship, which for me is a big achievement. I mean, the final 30 guys, you're a stud. And he said, you know, finished 19th there, 16 top 25s, 26 of 35 cuts made. And I've got to believe that the 21-year-old from South Korea gets the nod. Hey, Kyle?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think you could go some different ways with this, because if you just look at top 10 percentage, you know, Morikawa was like, I think 4 out of 9 or 3 out of 9 or something like that. And he was percentage wise better than Sung Jae-im. But I do think it matters to have played a full season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, who's to say that after 10 events or whatever it was, that Wolf and Morikawa don't go into these big slumps and like they did, you know, I don't know. I think just like the Player of the Year award, it's very much a philosophical debate of like, do you value a full season of pretty good play versus a really like a sliver of a season of great play? And, you know, I think like if Morikawa wins like Memorial or Wolf wins, I don't know, like a playoff event, I think there's probably a better case. I do think it matters that it was Barracuda and 3M Open. Not that those are bad events, but they're not the fields. They're not the premier events. I think I would go Sung Jae-im as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you this, and I'll probably have to bite my tongue and sort of hide my face in embarrassment. But if you look at the upside of these guys, they're all massively talented, obviously. You don't make it to the PGA Tour by accident. But Colin Morikawa, I mean, this guy just has it all, including the personality. In fact, I was speaking with his caddy, JJ, who worked for Ryan Moore for the longest time. And JJ jumped at the opportunity to work for this guy when he came out on tour. And JJ's been around the block, good player himself. In fact, won a national championship at a D2 school, Chico State. And so, I mean, when he saw Colin Morikawa coming along, he was all over that, and it's worked out well for him. So, you know, the folks in the know kind of rate this guy highly. Look, Wolf's got the electricity, and he's got the Wolf pack and that sort of stuff. Adam Long's just going to always be around. Cameron Champ has also got some of that, you know, star quality about him because he hits it so far. But Morikawa, goodness gracious, man, he has every weapon in the book.
Is that where you so the rookie of the year deserves looking back. If we were to look forward, is Morikawa where you would push your chips?
Yeah. I almost would say I'm all in. Now, I might have to revisit my statement, but what I've seen so far, man, he is impressive. He's sneaky long. He's so he's like an assassin. This guy's so accurate, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy how accurate the guy is. You're the numbers guy, Kyle. I mean, his proximity is off the charts in the approach shots.
Yeah.
And then he makes timely putts too. I mean, look, but for a wicked lip out on the 71st hole in Minneapolis, Matt Wolf doesn't win that event.
Yeah, but Morikawa's iron play is sick. He is awesome from – you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think it was like 200 and in. He was just, I mean, it was disgusting. I would go, this is not somebody that we were talking about, but Chip and I talked about this a couple pods ago. I'm all in on Hovland. I think he is, I think he's special. I think if you look at the numbers, he performed well in the categories that you want, that like a 2020 PGA Tour player needs to perform well to be a superstar, and that's off the tee and from tee to green.
Mm-hmm.
And his around the green stuff was I think it was below average. His putting I think was like right at average or maybe below it, but I don't know, man, like he's got the profile. He's got, I mean, his resume in 2019, I think you could argue if you throw in the US Open, throw in the Masters, it was the best of any rookie. And it was weird because it didn't end with him getting his card, at least during the PGA Tour season. But he probably had the best overall year of any rookie, even though like a lot of that stuff like doesn't qualify him for this Rookie of the Year and, you know, whatever. He's not even he wasn't even a PGA Tour member, so it couldn't be Rookie of the Year. But he is, I think he's, if I had to choose one, I think he's the guy.
Well, look, there's a lot to get behind there. I mean, the power of the tee. To me, he's just charming. I mean, he's got that easy smile about him, and he's quick to poke fun at himself too, which I find so refreshing in an era where these guys are sort of making the prepared statements half the time, where you never know what you're getting from him in the media room. So, yeah, and he's so wildly talented too. Look, all being said, Chip, I mean, this is a really cool group of youngsters we're going to get to watch over the next little while.
For Hovland, Kyle, if you are making the argument of sort of the way that he performed, is that are you flipping on your Brooks stance about how we should value the performance in majors?
What do you mean?
Like, Hovland's performance in majors is a big part of the impression that he left on the golf world, even before he was a professional, right? Like, that's part of the general argument for why you would buy in on him.
Yeah, he was really good and I think for me with him, it's less about, I mean, it is about where he finished, that matters, but just statistically, I mean, there were like, I think three or four events where he led the field in strokes gained driving, and you're like, what is, like, even following him in Oklahoma State, and I've mentioned this to you, Chip, like, I knew he was like really good, and people were sort of ignoring the fact that like him and Wolf were basically like the same player last year in college. Mm-hmm. Like, numbers wise, there was no difference. I guess I didn't realize how elite he would be off the tee. I mean, if you're talking about like strokes gained off the tee, he didn't qualify because he didn't play enough tournaments. It's him and Rory, like, those were the top two, and you're like, well, okay. Like, is that sustainable? I mean, it looks like it is. Like, his, you know, he's owns his own swing. It's not, it wasn't fluky. It was, you know, he did it for a long time. So, I think I'm more looking at like the statistics of the tournaments that he played in, the major. I mean, he led the field in driving at Pebble at the US Open. That was impressive. So, to me, it's more about that than it is about the finishes.
Well, for me, to that, I mean, look, power off the tee and the ability to drive the golf ball is going to give you the leg up on the competition. There's no debating that. But in the end, I'm always going to gravitate to my Bob Jonesism. You guys know me. And he learned, when Bob Jones learned from Walter Travis how to putt, and Travis said to him, you show me a man who can putt and I will show you a match for any man. Now, you couple a good putter with a good driver, then you've got yourself a thing, like with McIlroy this year, with Brooks this year, guys making putts and bombing it off the tee. That's when you start winning. And if there is just a little crack maybe in the armor, I would say he tends to be a little streaky on the greens. Now, some of the greats were, but the one thing's for certain, and that's what Brooks did this year. Man, if there was a putt to be made and it meant something, he was finding a way. Tiger Woods back in the day, same deal. If something had to go down, he'd do it. And all of the greats, they had that intangible. When they had to make something from 10, 15, 6 feet, whatever, they found a way to knock it home.
That is your Player of the Year and your Rookie of the Year debate. That is Kyle Porter. That is Mark Immelman. I am Chip Patterson. Gentlemen, it's been fun. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chip.
Appreciate you guys.